This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast, a show by gamers, for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role-playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Beowulf.
And, well, how are things going?
Going great. I've been playing Guild Wars 2 for 5 years, and I'm one of those stubborn players who refuses to buy the items off the auction house. You know, like, they're selling precursors, and the one I want was like 400 gold. I've had 400 gold for years, and I wanted to get the precursor that I wanted through the old means, you know, getting it as a drop through playing or throwing exotics or rares into the Mystic Forge and having one come out that way.
Huh.
And after 5 years, it finally happened. I got the precursor to the Legendary Hunter and or the Legendary Predator, sorry. Hunter is the precursor. And I couldn't be happier. Now I just have to go through the slog of actually crafting it.
Hey, you know, but, you know, at least you got the first part.
Well, the thing is a few years ago, they put in a way that you could craft the precursor. And I got partway through that, and it takes so much, like, going through fractals to get this piece and go through another fractal to get this piece. And since I, for the most part, solo, that wasn't happening. And so it was one of those situations where, fuck, I'm not going to get it anytime soon. And then all of a sudden the precursor drops and I've been stockpiling stuff for 5 years. So I have almost everything for it. I just need to get the dungeon tokens to buy the Gift of Knowledge, and I need to do the PvP track, Tier 8. It's like the last gift you get off that reward track, and that's the Gift of Battle. And except for, you know, maybe getting some more ectoplasm to finish it, I'm done.
Oh, that's cool.
I just have a couple things that I need to do, and yeah, they're going to take some time, but I blew a lot of ectoplasm helping my wife craft her ascended set. She's still not done because she needs the amount of these crystals that you get just by doing, like, jumping puzzles and champion chests and that sort of thing.
Right, so right.
We're getting there.
Well, that's something.
So how's your day been? Or how's your gaming been?
Gaming-wise, fine. Everything's good. Life-wise, well, my Rams lost in the first round of the playoffs. So that kind of sucked.
But at least you made it to the playoffs.
That's true. We've been 7-9 for years. We were 6-10 last year. Just making the playoffs was amazing. So that was great. I'm not going to complain about it at all. Everything's looking up. I would have kind of preferred to not get beaten at home by Atlanta in that manner. At least it wasn't a blowout. We lost by 13. But it could have been better. Oh. It was, yeah. I almost felt like a Seattle Seahawks fan for how much I wanted to complain about how the officiating was going on. Then I realized, wait a minute, I sound like a whiner 12. Now, it can't be that bad. Look at it objectively. No, really, that should have been pass interference, but you know what? I'm going to let it go.
Sure, you're going to let it go. You're going to seethe on that for years.
No, actually, I'm not. It's good. Because, trust me, this is the first playoffs we've been in since 2004. I'm good. You know, at least we got this far. Got back to LA, which is awesome, a couple of years ago, and now right back into the playoffs. Awesome, and things are looking up. Team is a young team and steadily improving. I mean, sure, if we don't make the playoffs next year, it'll be disappointing. I would like to see us at least get through the first round. Otherwise, people will start looking at us like Dallas. But Dallas didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, well.
Regardless.
They used to call the Falcons choke artists. You don't want to be in that league.
Just wait. They're going to choke so hard next week. And the thing is, everyone says, oh, well, you know, the Eagles, they've lost their quarterback and they have this, you know, backup guy and he's not any good and they're going to lose. And it's possible. It's possible. But the Eagles were the number one seed for a reason. I have a feeling they're going to stomp all over Atlanta. And I'll be good with that. Because I'm currently, of the teams that are left, I'm going to support Minnesota.
Okay.
Not that I care anything about the Vikings, but my coworker is a Vikings fan from way back. It'd be really nice if he had, you know, got something good. You know, because they never make the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl's being played in Minneapolis this year. So it'd be the first time a team has hosted a Super Bowl that they're playing in.
That would be cool.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is a gaming show.
I know.
Why are you talking football?
Well, that's a game.
Okay.
There's some reasoning there, and it kills time. Anyway. No, but you did mention, I wanted to get back to this, you mentioned how you got your precursor, right?
Yeah.
And this leads into our topic, trust me. How much do you think you spent in gear feeding into the forge or whatever it's called to get that precursor to drop?
I honestly have no idea, because the way I play, I've been breaking almost every piece of gear I get, from rares all the way down to just your basic commons, because you get magic find essence.
Right.
And that magic find essence you use to boost your magic find score. And it takes a certain amount of essence to go up one percentage point.
Right.
In magic find. Well, I'm at like 231% right now.
Uh-huh.
Out of a maximum 300. And that's not including buffs, which take it even higher. So, I've been, for the longest time, I was saving the rares, and just, I'd get four of the same kind, and I'd toss it in the forge. Usually I'd get crap back. Every once in a while I'd get, you know, something decent. And I've actually had a pretty good track record for getting precursors. They were just never the ones I wanted.
Right.
You know, I've gotten a harpoon. I've got a spear gun. I got I got two separate spears, a war horn, and a torch. All of which my, actually only one of those my main would actually use as an engineer, and that would be the spear gun.
Right.
Harpoon gun, whatever you want to call it. But I don't want to go through all the bullshit and the expense of creating a legend or a legendary weapon and have it be an underwater weapon, which he almost never uses.
Right. But
so I've gotten 5 precursors, and I know a lot of people who have thrown a whole hell of a lot more stuff in there than I have, and they've gotten jack shit.
Yeah, but my point is, even though you've gotten 5 precursors, only one of which you could use until now,
I have no idea how much I've thrown in. It's just been a regular thing. Hey, I got 4 of these.
Yeah, but you've literally thrown probably hundreds, if not thousands, of gold.
I wouldn't say thousands, because, I mean, they're just rares.
You could still sell them at a vendor for a certain amount of money. Or sell them on the auction house for a little bit more money.
Hey, Froon Juice just showed up. Anyhow, yeah, I've thrown a whole lot of bits and pieces in there. And I wouldn't say it was worth it, because there are a lot of people who their idea was sell everything they get, and when they get enough money together, they go and buy the legendary, so they don't have to go through that trouble. So, anyhow.
Sorry, chatting with Froon real quick.
No, it's fine.
Send him a message. And the Froon Juice is a longtime listener who dropped by the Discord server, which you can get the invite at for gamingstuff.website, and come and listen to the show live. Well, he's online, and I sent him a message, said, hey, drop by and listen if you want. Anyway, that's aside from the point. The point I was trying to get at, though, is that you've thrown all this money to get one precursor, which you could have, admittedly, paid cash for, but you gambled for it, right?
Yeah.
And it's taken you years, right?
5 years, yes.
So you've been throwing these items in, throwing them in, and throwing them in. And that's great. But you were willing to do it. But effectively, you threw away an untold amount of money gambling to get your item.
Yeah, and you know what? I actually didn't get it out of the forge. I got it off of a world boss while doing one of the living story zones. I was trying to garner all the mastery points I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I skipped a lot of easy mastery points in those zones. So I was going back and collecting mastery points. And a legendary showed up like half a mile away from where my character was, so I just hopped on my griffin, flew over there, jumped in, and it dropped as part of the rewards. Who knew? So yeah, gambling didn't help a whole lot.
No. But you had fun doing it, and you got it eventually, so cool.
I do think the most valuable thing that I've picked up doing it that way, though, is I've unlocked a whole lot of rare skins, because when you throw items in and you get something back, quite often you get a different skin, one that you don't have. So mm-hmm. I've unlocked quite a few different types of skins that way.
So you'd say that gambling mechanic in Guild Wars 2 has been overall beneficial to you?
50-50.
Much like it would be.
So.
But anyway, almost halfway through the show, we can get to what our topic is, and that's obviously gambling.
Well, go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say, there's, a variety of gambling mechanics in various games, be they video games or MMORPGs, which again are video games. But we wanted to talk today a little bit about, you know, good gambling and not so good gambling and whether we enjoy them or not. So you've already talked, BLS, a little bit about the Mystic Forge. Are there any other, what's a good word for it? Friendly, player-friendly, and not wholly evil types of gambling in video games you can think of?
Oh, tons. Just off the top of my head, one of my favorite single-player role-playing games, Suikoden. It has this cups game. And, you know, there's a, it's like a ball or a coin inside one of the three cups, and they switch them around, and you bet on whether or not you can find where the coin is hidden. And there's a lot of cheats involved with that one, so, I mean, it really wasn't a well-implemented gambling system, but I remember that one. And then there was also the Dice in the Bowl game, which has a whole lot of rules to it, but you can make a crap ton of money fast, but you can also lose your ass just as fast. And then there's a card game, which I haven't played yet, in Witcher 3 called Gwent.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping Rylea could be here for this, but unless work had to come first.
Yeah.
In Final Fantasy VIII, there was a card game called, I think it was Triple Triad. I remember that being a ton of fun, but I don't remember it being, you know, gambling exactly. I know there was, you know, money, there was wagering going on, but it just never seemed like it was insidious.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played Red Dead Redemption yet, but I was told it has a card game in it. It's a form of Texas Hold'em.
Huh.
And they also have a dice game called Liar's Dice. And there's others out there, you know, like Fallout New Vegas has a casino. But the one I remember the most, the one that I had the most fun at, was from the Dragon Warrior series of role-playing games. They have slot machines.
Nice.
And I remember, you know, you've got this grand quest you're supposed to be on, and you wander into the casino, and 4 or 5 hours later, you come wandering out because you got spellbound by those stupid slot machines.
Nice.
But yeah, there's all kinds of gambling. I mean, heck, other than the Forge, Guild Wars 2 has a couple of gambling things. There's in the new zone, the Path of Fire zone, they've got a game, I think it's called Pyramid, where it's a card game where you draw certain cards, but you're wagering ectoplasm, which is one of the currencies of the game.
Right.
And I've played it like once, and I got more ectoplasm back than I wagered. So, good on me, I guess.
Yeah.
But it also has one that I thought was absolutely hysterical. It's early in the game, in one of the, I think it's in the Char Zone. You're defending this catapult because they're being attacked by harpies.
Uh-huh.
Kill all the harpies, and you have to kill all the harpies before the catapult runs out of ammo. And the ammo is cattle. So it's actually a catapult.
Oh.
And what he's doing is he's loading the cattle onto the catapult and hurling them at the harpy nest, trying to hit them with it. He never explains why exactly this is a good idea, but just listening to him chat, you know, listening to a talk about, that one missed, I hit the mountain, kind of stuff. It's kind of sick, but kind of fun. But at the end of it, if he has any left over, he launches them anyways, but you can gamble on how close to the target you hit. And early on in the game, you're wagering a gold. And early in the game, a gold is a lot of money. So, yeah, it's kind of a steep price, but if you win, you win a lot of money.
Yeah. But those are all effectively mini games, right? Wouldn't you say?
Pretty much, yeah.
So, you know, you expect mini games are going to be pretty innocuous. Yeah, sure, you can grind them for some money, but they're not going to be, you know, tearing at your soul.
They're not going to be an addiction. Correct. I guess I could see how they would lead to you playing something that fed your addiction more, you know, like the actual video games, which are casinos and, you know, online poker and that sort of thing. But it has a potential to be a gateway, but I don't see it. But then I don't have an addictive personality that way.
Yeah. Other than for Guild Wars 2.
Yeah. Hey, I already said it was my favorite game. Yeah. What do you want?
Lotro's my favorite game, but I can still set it aside.
You don't hear me? I'm not playing it right now.
I'm recording a podcast right now.
No, I said I'm not playing it right now.
I thought you were saying it.
And I could be.
Yeah. Thank you very much for not distracting yourself. Anyway, there's other gambling, though, unfortunately, in some video games, which isn't so nice. Isn't just just another mini game. And I thought I'd talk about a couple of those.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, everybody knows loot boxes.
Well, yeah.
And because that's, you know, the big thing right now. Everyone's complaining about loot boxes.
Why?
Because loot boxes, well, you should really watch some videos from Jim Sterling. He goes really in depth into the problem with loot boxes and why they're such an issue. Because, you know, people say before, oh, well, they're just cosmetics in them. Why does that matter?
Well, in most cases, that is true.
Yeah.
But not all cases.
But even if it's just cosmetics, it's still a problem. Because cosmetics used to be a thing that you earned in-game before loot boxes. You would do certain quests and you'd earn a nice piece of gear or an armor set that was cosmetic or whatever, right? But now, that stuff's all tied in first into microtransactions or into the loot box systems, which more and more that's the case. Because they want you to spend money, get more loot boxes or loot box keys, depending on the mechanic in a particular game, just so you have a chance to maybe win that set of gloves that you need to finish this set or these pants or whatever. So even if it's just cosmetics, those are still gameplay items. And that also gives that dopamine rush to people with addictive personalities and thus the problem. You're now spending real money to gamble in a video game. The EAs of the world can say, oh no, it's not really gambling, wink, wink, but everybody knows it is. And that's really kind of bullshit. These are games that kids play. Why is this allowed? Even if it is just cosmetics and not, you know, what EA tried to do with Battlefront 2, and actually have pay to win, you know, stuff you absolutely needed to have to play the game locked into loot boxes.
Well, that's obviously wrong.
Yeah.
But I still don't see a problem with loot boxes, because you don't absolutely have to buy them. There is, in most cases, there is no need to do it. It's just a want.
That's true. You don't have to. I mean, in Rift, I have stacks of loot boxes in my bank.
Mm-hmm. As do I.
In the guild bank.
300 or so of them.
Yeah, and they just sit there because I'm not going to unlock them.
Actually, I sell them. They're not worth a whole lot, but every once in a while you'll find somebody willing to pay, you know, a silver apiece for them, so I'll throw 250 of them on the auction house. Boom.
I never even thought about that.
Made me some cash.
I wonder if I can sell those.
They're not account bound.
The ones in Rift?
No, the ones that I use, the ones the Guild Wars 2,
yeah,
they're not account bound, so I can sell them.
I'm talking about in Rift. I know in Lord of the Rings Online, they're bound to account, so that's it. You're stuck. But if these aren't bound, I might just try that. Now, then I'm feeding somebody else's addiction, but hey, I've got stuff to buy. You know? They can blame the game for it, not me. But speaking of other games and getting off the whole loot box thing, because ew. When we were first talking about this topic, you know, discussing whether to discuss it or not, I got thinking about it, and it made me think about Lord of the Rings Online, and they've got a mechanic called Hobbit Presence. Which you would think, okay, it's an innocuous enough thing. A lot of games have where you get a free present every time you log into the game. You get a free random present. You open it up. Oh, you get some potion or this or that. You know, nothing major, just something. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that this is basically the same thing. Every day you get a silver present, a silver level present. And once a week, if you're, I believe you only get it if you're a subscriber or a lifetimer, you get a gold level present. And that's fine. That's great. The problem with Hobbit presents is twofold. First of all, you can spend mithril coins, which is another type of premium currency. You have to buy them with Lotro points, which are bought with real money. So you're kind of sort of spending real money to get mithril coins, but whatever. You can spend mithril coins to get additional Hobbit presents. 2 mithril coins will get you a silver level. 8 mithril coins will get you a gold level, the weekly one. Okay, fine. That's okay. You know, you get a random thing. What's the big deal, right? The big deal, and the reason it's a problem, or could potentially be a problem for someone with an addiction to gambling, is the interface. I mean, the daily present you get with Rift, you just right-click on it when it's in your bag, and poof, the stuff shows up in your bag.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. In Lord of the Rings Online, you click when it shows that you have a present, and you go to accept your silver present, your daily, let's say, and it has a 3-window random, you know, like a slot machine interface.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the gold, the weekly. So if somebody really wants to, they could theoretically be pumping in mithril coins to get new presents and spin the wheels, so they can get their slot machine fix. Now, yeah. I don't think that SSG or Turbine before them meant this to be an insidious or bad thing, but it theoretically very well could be. And this is an issue. Now, a lot of people, when it first came out, complained about it, said that this was not acceptable, but back then, not a lot of people were playing Lord of the Rings Online. And secondly, nobody, this whole loot box can, you know, explosion that occurred a couple months ago with EA and all that, that hadn't become a big, huge problem. And of course, well, it's a free-to-play game. Everyone expects it. That doesn't make it right. Does it?
Well, maybe they should force them to put on the... I know that nobody buys... Well, almost nobody buys the game in box anymore. It's all digital download. But there should be on the... When you go to buy it, there should be a warning that it has violence and gambling and whatever else. That should factor into the rating it gets.
It technically does. The problem is that it's not considered gambling, which would force them to put a mature rating on those games.
Well, maybe they should force them to put a mature rating on them then.
Yeah. Maybe.
It's kind of like the last one we were talking about. You know, how pedophiles in the Magic the Gathering community. If you're going to have a situation like that, then you need to step up and make sure that they show up with their little history report saying that they have a clean background before they can be a judge. If you're going to have gambling in your game, you should make it a mature audience only.
Yeah.
You'll see how quickly the gambling goes away.
Yeah, but is that necessarily a good thing?
No.
Because, I mean, Red Dead Redemption, you're going to expect to have the ability to play Texas Hold'em. That just seems like something you would do in that game.
Well, you stop off at the bar and or the tavern, and there's a couple people over there playing cards.
Right.
It's kind of nice to be able to jump in and join the game.
Exactly. So
kind of fits the theme.
Right. So, yeah, could they change that Hobbit presence so it doesn't have a loot box like... Not loot box, I'm sorry, a slot machine-like interface where, you know, it doesn't look so much like a slot machine? Sure. Could they make it more like it is in Rift where you just right-click on the thing and poof, it just opens up in your bags? Yeah.
Well, you know they're not going to do that, though.
Well, no, because first of all, that's going to take a lot of re-engineering. And secondly, well it encourages people to spend Mithril coins.
Well, no, because you could go back farther in games. Hot Shots Golf. When you finish a tournament, you get this little spinning icon that you click on it. You get either a win or a lose. And if you get 3 wins in a row, you get a prize. It doesn't have a whole lot of flashing lights, but it has that same kind of feel to it. You know, the Mario Party games. You can't tell me these aren't targeted for kids.
No.
They have multiple situations where you get the spinning lights and the flashing cards. It's like a tile matching game. That's in a lot of the different Mario games.
Yeah. And so, people say, well, you know, oh, you're just matching tiles. That's not a big deal. Have you ever heard of Mahjong? There's a lot of gambling that goes around Mahjong.
But that's my point. It's never going to go away because there's too much of it. It's too pervasive in the community. People see it as non-threatening. It's just a fun distraction, just a mini game. And in most cases, I agree. But then I'm not one of those kind of people who really gets into gambling. It's not my thing. It doesn't, you know, I don't go to a casino and throw away a ton of money.
Yeah.
I might gamble a little bit, and when I'm out of money, I stop playing. Or if I just start playing and I don't enjoy it, I just walk off.
Yeah, but for those people that can't just walk away.
I know. I'm not saying that I'm one of them. I don't understand the addiction.
Yeah, but our game companies?
Probably.
Are game companies responsible for players that have a gambling addiction? Is it their fault?
To some degree, maybe.
How so? They didn't give them the gambling addiction. They
no,
came in with that.
They didn't warn them that it was a potential trigger in their game.
Well, I don't have to warn you that crossing the street, you might get hit by a car.
No. But in the tasks of doing my daily routine, I may not have to do that. I may not have to cross the street.
True. But there's still that potential. And
yes.
Is a city required to, if you're going to just walk out in the street, to tell you? No, common sense says, hey, there might be something there.
Actually, they do try to tell you. They have that little sign saying, walk or don't walk.
But if you're crossing in the middle of the street...
That's your own stupidity, then.
And that's what I'm getting at. If you know you have a problem, don't play games where there's things at risk that will... I mean, because you don't have to play a game or do gambling or whatever to get that dopamine rush of having a gambling, you know, that you get from a gambling addiction. Any sort of thing where there's a risk, you can't... I'm playing PvP, fighting in a PvP match can do that. So any sort of video game might have that, you know, might trigger that and make things worse.
Yeah, but you could get that just by watching Jeopardy then.
Yeah, but you're just watching it. You're not involved in it. Now, you could be sit here with my wife and bet with her. I bet he's going to pick an E.
You don't have to bet. If you have the answer, you get all kinds of excited, and then when the answer shows up and you had it right, you get that little ta-da.
That's true.
So there's all kinds of things. If you're gonna extrapolate it to, you know, crossing the street, there's all kinds of triggers that could set you off.
Yeah.
And so games are just as safe as everything else then.
Well, I think we've wrung this one out as best as we can.
We went a little off the rails, but hey.
It happens. We got a little late start, too, so. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I'm thrilled that I got my precursor.
Woo! Well, good for you. I'm working on 2019 episodes for my shows.
Well, and that just goes to prove you hate yourself. You want no fun in your life.
No, I disagree. I play these games to have fun, and if I'm playing them, I might as well be recording myself. Now, my wife said, what if Donald Trump causes the world to end, and you've got all this extra footage that you won't be able to use? And I said, you know, if that happens, I've got bigger problems. You know? So, anyway. Till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Beolus.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, Please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.